Welcome back to 32 Fans in 32 Days. I'm Alex Chester. With me, as always, is Wheels Wienerker. Wheels, how's it rolling?
It's rolling great. I feel like we had a very productive night last night. We did the first two podcasts. This is the third one of the 32. And yep. then we did, hey, let's do one more. We did a 2.5 hour Survivor podcast.
Yeah, for the second time, though, we forgot to spin the wheel at the end of the last episode to decide who we're discussing today. So do you want to spin that wheel now?
Oh, for next episode?
No, for the episode we're about to do, so that we know what team we're talking about.
Well, let's be honest. We spun the wheel already for that one.
Offline, yes. We spun the wheel offline because we realized we forgot to do it, and I was going to pretend to do it now.
Are you not wearing a shirt?
I'm wearing a shirt. What are you talking about?
Okay. I just have like a small view of you, so it looks like I just see your shoulder.
No, and not only am I here, but we have our returning guest from yesterday also. Not Ali Lasher, but this guy.
Unnamed Chester.
Unnamed, yeah. Dreams Chester, we're going to be going with probably.
Dreams Chester. All right, that's good.
Do you know Dreams' real name?
What's his last name again?
That I don't
know. If you said his last name,
his first name is like, it's like Taria or something. It's a very strange name.
Oh, it's never mentioned on the show, you're saying?
Yeah, I was shocked when I saw it.
No, I don't know. All right. Okay, let's spin the wheel now for the next. So we're talking about the Pittsburgh Steelers. That's what came up as the third episode.
Yeah, actually, I think you're right. Let's spin the wheel now for the next one because otherwise we're going to get bombed. And that's one of the reasons we don't do it, I think, because we keep getting bombed.
Yeah.
Right? So, all right. Mm-hmm. So this episode, episode three, we're going to talk about the Steelers, which means that we've done Washington, Indy, and now Pittsburgh. And the question is, who will be our podcast for tomorrow, Saturday? Number four on our list. Drum roll, please. Do you want to make a drum roll sound? Okay. It's the Miami Dolphins. Miami Dolphins.
Okay, perfect.
Miami Dolphins. Is that perfect? The Dolphins suck.
Yeah, I mean, because I was going to say there's like five or six teams that we probably can't do because we have usual guests for them, like the Jets and the Giants and the Seahawks. But yeah, Miami, that's fine. All right.
The Dolphins don't demand a guest, I guess you're saying. Okay, fine. All right, so the Pittsburgh Steelers are a team that you and I are both much higher on than sort of the masses. I think PFF says that they're they predict them to go like 7-9 or 6-10 or something like that. I forget exactly what it was, but you have them at number 6, and I have them at number 11. So we both think of them as a playoff team. By the way, I'm looking some of our listeners even higher. Tim Westine has them at 5, although he's from Pittsburgh, so slightly biased there. And Eric Gillen, or Guillen, as I like to call him, who is from San Francisco, of course, definitely not from Pittsburgh.
You're very bad at pronouncing last names.
Yeah, he has him at number 6 as well. So a lot of Steelers fandom there, although then we have a lot of people who have him in the 20s as well. So overall, our cumulative average is we have the Pittsburgh Steelers at number 9.
What were the, we didn't say it because we were still calculating the rankings. I think we said Washington was going to be 32. What were the Colts that were the?
No, we said Washington was at 32.
Yeah. So what were the Colts though?
We said what the Colts were. We discussed it at length on the podcast.
I don't remember. Yeah. What were the Colts?
The Colts were 11, and we asked. We asked our guest Jake to guess.
Oh yeah, Jake Lewin. Okay. Yeah.
So we have the Steelers at number 9, but. That's mostly because you push it up. The listeners have them ranked average of 13. So the listeners are a little bit lower on them, and which still is on the cusp of a playoff team. So, why don't we start with you? Why do you love this team so much? At 6, you think they're like a borderline Super Bowl contender.
Okay, so a couple things. I think, and 6 is maybe a little too high, but I do think that they are a borderline Super Bowl contender. First of all, they were semi-competent last year without Roethlisberger for a lot of the time.
Okay.
Getting F-minus quarterback play. I also think when you talk about having teams with stability and continuity in a season where there's not going to be a preseason and, the offense hasn't even met the defense in a lot of the buildings yet and, everything is so chaotic, this is the team, I think, with the least turnover. One of the least turnover I've ever seen. They switched offensive guards. They didn't have a first-round pick because they traded for Minkah Fitzpatrick during last season. So you're really talking about, other than bringing back Roethlisberger, who's been there for 10,000 years with the same coach, it's the exact same team as last year. They lost one major guy, Javon Hargrave, to Philly. But, you can replace an interior defensive lineman. This team, so what has changed? They added Eric Ebron, right? So they're going to have to integrate him. But he is a veteran player who just went to a second team and was better. So I sort of like his chances to do that. And then there's a couple rookies, but you know, they're not really relying on them. They have that, you know, because their running back duo is James Conner and Benny Snell, but they drafted a guy in the fourth round, Anthony McFarland Jr. I don't think that's Booger's son. Yeah. What is Booger doing this year now that he's, I guess he's like just a.
He's dropping hot takes on Twitter.
Well, I think he was supposed to do college football, but now there is probably no college football.
Yeah. So let's start. I mean, I think that the defense is very good for this team, and the defense is clearly what carried this team last year as they went 8-8, although, you know, with a slightly negative scoring differential. The offense, you know, Roethlisberger played one game last year. So your argument is, well, they're going to have more than one game of Roethlisberger. They're going to be a lot better. But I think that the bigger concern that I have is the weapons around Roethlisberger are probably the worst that they've been in at least a decade for him. And
well, that's not fair. I mean, you're judging guys based on a wasted season last year. So, like, yes, though, those guys all regressed. You know, Juju obviously had a horrendous third year.
Yeah.
And then James Washington, after looking like he was going to be good as a rookie.
Yeah, so hold on. Let's start with Juju. So Juju looks like a star, like a young superstar mm-hmm. in the league in 2018 with Roethlisberger throwing to him. But also he had Antonio Brown, you know, one of the greatest receivers of all time, drawing double teams all over the field on the other side. He mm-hmm. was much, much worse last year. And now who's starting opposite him? Is it Deontay? Is it Chase Claypool who was?
It could be Chase Claypool.
But Claypool they drafted in the second round because of the Minkah Fitzpatrick trade. That was their first draft pick. He's a downfield guy. Mm-hmm. You know,
they always find guys who can.
Find guys who are sort of decent wide receiver three or wide receiver fours. But they need somebody to be a legitimate threat if they, you know, unless you think that Juju is going to do that, even with no one drawing attention to the other side of the field.
I think they'll be fine. I think they're going to score.
So what I was going to say is, Claypool to me, like, you know, I was doing a lot of research into the receivers because it was definitely a position of need for the Vikings. And he was not a guy that I was interested in at all. And I'm far from a draft expert, but
I don't disagree. But I also think, like, if he's going to work on a team, it's going to be this team.
Sure.
Like the burner guy like that playing opposite Juju like that, that may work more. I certainly was more into memes, the guy we drafted, or Pittman, if you're talking about second rounders.
But let's talk about, Connor for a second. So Connor in 2018 replaces Le'Veon when he holds out, and he was great. Last year, Connor was much worse also. I guess you're going to blame this one on Roethlisberger also. I would argue that Benny Snell was just, you know, was basically just as good as Connor last year.
Yeah, they both were bad, but again, like, you could crowd the box against them because they didn't have NFL quarterback play.
Yeah.
It was just a waste of a year. What happens when you lose a quarterback?
So Eric Ebron's here. I did notice that the Pittsburgh tight ends had the worst Pro Football Focus receiving grade in the NFL last year. So adding Ebron is in theory helpful, but also, like, I think Ebron is still riding that outlier touchdown performance for the Colts in 2018. Like, he's the same guy. Like, the reason he failed in Detroit is that he has a lot of drops. I'm not sure that he's ever really resolved that. He's obviously not going to be a blocker, although Pittsburgh's been fine with receiving tight ends for a while. So I just, you know, there's no great weapons here. You know, Roethlisberger, he's old. He just played one game. We don't have a guarantee, especially with his body, that he's going to be back and be at his elite level again without Antonio Brown, without Le'Veon Bell. He still has a good offensive line, and so I think their offense can be passable. But I think that this is a team who's going to have to be carried by their defense if they're really going to be a contender.
Yeah, obviously they're going to need defense is going to need to play. But I think really once Minkah got settled last year, it became an elite secondary. And then you have right now probably the better Watt and TJ.
Yeah, so TJ Watt is better than JJ Watt at this point. But you don't think?
I don't think that's so hot anymore. I think he's much more likely to play 16 or 14 games.
Okay. Who is Cameron Hayward better than his brother? I don't know if he has a brother. But yeah, is Minkah
Craig
Fitzpatrick
Ironhead
better
is,
than,
is Cameron well, Hayward Craig Ironhead Hayward's well,
that,
son?
That's what I was thinking of. But Minkah Fitzpatrick, is he better than Ryan Fitzpatrick? By the way, to this day, I still don't understand why the Steelers didn't ask the Dolphins to throw Ryan Fitzpatrick into that trade.
Because it made no sense.
You know, they went 8-8, and 9-7 was enough not only to win a wild card in the AFC, but ultimately the Titans went all the way to the won multiple playoff games at 9-7. Mm-hmm. So if you're telling me that you don't think that they could have gotten more out of Ryan Fitzpatrick last year, then they got out of the combination of Duck Hodges and Mason Rudolph. Like, I don't know. To me, that was a mistake that they didn't even try to.
I have some good news and some bad news for you about Cam Hayward.
Yeah.
Craig Ironhead Hayward was his dad.
Oh, wow. That's amazing.
But he passed away very young, at the age of 39 in 2006.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
From Passaic, New Jersey, Ironhead Hayward. Oh. Yeah. I feel like if your name is Ironhead, you're probably sort of crashing into people a lot. Probably not great for your long-term health. Although he did die of a brain tumor, not necessarily dementia-related things. But yeah, that was the classic fullback. It is always strange when like the son plays like a totally different position. Although I guess like defensive line is not that far away from fullback.
Yeah.
But I like you should always play the same position as your dad. That should be the rule. That's like the man. Okay.
No, I like when the guys are totally different positions, right? Like Jackie Slater, for example. Well, you could do
different sport.
Jackie Slater's a Hall of Fame left tackle. And his son is like a skinny little special teams guy.
Special teams, like, you know, eighth receiver.
Yeah. I mean, it is funny when you have, like, Cecil Fielder and Prince Fielder, who are, like, you know, carbon copies of each other, obviously.
Yeah, except they had, I think, nothing to do with each other.
Yeah, well, as adults. As adults, they did, correct.
Yeah. Well, D. Gordon and Tom Gordon, very different. Like a steal, you know, a base-stealing second baseman versus a closer.
Yeah.
Although I'm not sure they had anything to do with each other. Okay. Do you remember the book, The Girl of Tom Gordon by Stephen King?
No.
How many Stephen King books over under 1.5 have you read in your life?
Zero.
Okay. You know, I read the, what's the Four Seasons book where there's... It's like four different books in one, the famous Stephen King book. I read that when I was a kid. It was way over my... I remember it was like... There was like boobs in the book and stuff. It was very
exciting. Now, here's my question. Roethlisberger,
yeah.
Admittedly, he only played 1.5 games, so it's a small sample size. But he was bad last year, right? Against the Patriots in week one. They lost 33-3.
Yeah, he was bad against a team with like a, you know, an elite secondary, the best team week one. I'm not losing that much sleep.
Yeah, and then, you know, in the next week he got injured. But, you know, on the season, he his completion percentage was in the mid-50s. His, you know, yards per attempt was in the 5s. He had no touchdowns. I'm worried. Take away Le'Veon Bell. Okay, fine. He'll be fine. Take away Antonio Brown. You're really starting to really hurt him. And I'm just... I think that this assumption that he's just going to be back to exactly who he was at 30, he's 38 years old, right?
Yeah, that means he's 5 years younger than Brady.
Yeah, okay, but that's, well, first of all, that's an extremely unique circumstance. Also, he has a different body type, right? I mean, he's listed at, I think, 240. There's no
way. Right, and he's also, I mean, he's always hurt compared to most of the other good quarterbacks.
Yeah, I mean, he played 16 games the year before, and he led the league in – by the way, he led the league in 2018 in interceptions with only 16, which really speaks to how different the NFL is. He also led the league in completions, attempts, and yards. So,
who's the backup, Mason Rudolph?
Is it not Duck Hodges? I'm not sure what the order is.
I think Duck Hodges is on the team. Oh, they also have Paxton Lynch, so I guess they're all fighting for a spot or two.
Yeah. On the depth chart they have, Rudolph 2, Hodges 3, and Lynch 4. So, by the way, did we find out if Anthony McFarland Jr. is Booger's son?
No, I didn't check that. I feel like Booger would mention him every play if he was his son, but let's see. So I don't know how old Booger is to have a kid that old, but let's see. Who am I to say that, though?
Yeah.
Imagine, so, like, if my daughter was, a boy and you know, a foot taller, she could be in the NFL soon. I'm not that old. No, I don't not believe his
Your daughter's 14, 13, 14. What are you talking about?
She could be, like, a star now.
In the NFL? You're literally not.
No, in like 4 years.
No, 6 years.
Well, she's a basketball player, though. She's not a football player.
Okay. All right. So, yeah. So I have the Steelers at 11, and I'm even regretting that a little bit. I think that it just, I don't think there's a huge difference in the middle of the AFC. After you take the Chiefs and the Ravens, who obviously are in their.
Well, that's why it was hard for me. I needed to put a third AFC team there, but it's, you know, obviously you can make a case for the Patriots. You want to say, like, the Titans are going to do it again.
Patriots, Steelers, Colts, Bills, Titans, you know, Browns,
but who of those teams
Texans.
Really excite you? None of those teams, except for maybe the Pats, can you say, like, oh, that team's going to be in the playoffs for sure, you know?
Yeah, no, none of those teams. I think, I mean, Pittsburgh's issue also is they have, a behemoth in their own division, right? And they have –
What was that word?
B-E-H-E-M-O-T-H.
You should have read more Stephen King books.
Why?
Behemoth.
Behemoth, sorry. Whatever. You're trying
people,
to
make, you know, that the famous, like, don't make fun of people because they.
It's the same thing talking
to both of you.
Anyways, the point is that I'm not convinced that Pittsburgh is a playoff team. I think that they're probably, again, an 8-8, 9-7 team. Their hope has to be that the Bengals are still, you know, completely, you know, in rebuilding mode with Burrow. And so they get 2 wins there. And that, I guess, they can sneak one out against Baltimore, or maybe
No, I disagree. If Roethlisberger plays 14 games, this team is definitely making the playoffs. So that's why I picked them.
Definitely making the playoffs. Okay.
Yes, if Roethlisberger plays, assuming there's a 16-game season. If
Pro Football Focus's chances games. Pittsburgh makes the playoffs, 33%.
Yeah, that's crap.
Well, so the over-under is 9.5, so you are definitely taking the over.
I'm definitely
taking the under. This is a lock, stone cold lock to me.
Well, so isn't there a seventh playoff spot? Like, you could make the playoffs very easily at 9-7. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's okay. So I'm not saying they're not making the playoffs. I'm saying that they're not winning 10 games.
Yeah, I would lean towards the over. We'll do over unders at the end, but I'm leaning towards the
over. Well, we both just said it already, so we can lean.
I mean, like all 32, we'll do them, and like we usually do them in a podcast.
Oh, we do? Okay.
I think so. I don't know.
All right.
Well, is this the sixth year we're doing this?
2015, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. Yeah, sixth year.
Okay. All right. I wanted to ask you
how many years did you do with gold? One or two? Three?
I think we did previews. We did 2 years of podcasts, but only 1 year of previews, I think.
So what did you do the other year?
Well, like we were sort of off and on. It was pretty spur. Like we said we're going to do 32 and 32 days, and then he got a job like 12 days in. So we only ended up doing like 17 teams. Oh. Because he was an accountant, and he had to like work all night. Okay. And so we did like, you know, hey, it's week three preview, week four. But I don't think we ever got back to doing NFL previews. Let me ask you a question.
Yes, ask me.
Roethlisberger, where do you have him all time on your QB list?
I have him one spot next to Philip Rivers.
You have him 21 ahead of Philip Rivers, I assume.
I don't remember offhand whether he's 21 or 23. I just know that they're one spot apart. I think I have one
but
spot.
But you agree
higher.
Roethlisberger is a lock for the Hall of Fame versus Rivers.
Obviously, because he's won two Super Bowls.
Because of his postseason success.
Of course, yeah. And it's not even, and as I mentioned, his postseason numbers are not better on a per game basis than Rivers is. But, you know, he had far better defenses and far better coaches, and he won a Super Bowl, and that's partly what we get judged by. But I will say this, like, I was sort of, Roethlisberger's career, and he's not nearly at Brady's level, obviously, but Roethlisberger's career has almost a similar trajectory to Brady in that he won early in his career. And he got the Super Bowl under his belt, even though he wasn't good at the time. Look at his numbers. He would have 17 touchdowns, 14 interceptions a year.
No, it was a known thing. Like, yeah, those
but they had elite
years,
defenses. But then
nobody thought he was
but then,
great.
But then in the teens, in the last decade, much like Brady, that's when he became a superstar. Now, it helped that he had, you know, Antonio Brown and before that, Hines Ward and Le'Veon Bell and all these great players that he could just superstars. At the talent position, and obviously also he had great offensive lines almost that entire time as well. So that obviously helped. But he started putting up big numbers legitimately in the second half of his career, which sort of retroactively. So I was sort of very anti-Roethlisberger for a long time. But by this point, I acknowledge not only that obviously he will make the Hall of Fame, but that I think he deserves to. I do have him number 21, by the way. And his CQBR plus for his career is 108.7, which means he's been 8.7% above average throughout his career, which Rivers is 109.1. So he's almost identical to Rivers. Matt Ryan is in the same.
Can you read Ben's year-by-year rankings like he was the ex-best each year?
Yes, I can certainly do that.
Let's hear that. I want to get a feel for that.
All right. So this is regular season only, obviously.
Yeah, but before you do that, so quick basketball talk for a second. So the Spurs officially, right before we spoke, are missing the playoffs for the first time, only the second time for me as a Spurs fan since 1990. And the first time, obviously, since Duncan. I think they said Jason Tatum was not alive the last time the Spurs missed the playoffs. So the one exciting thing is there's going to be quadruple headers every day, starting with Monday.
Yeah.
Every single day for at least 8 days.
Basketball
going to be
all day,
quadruple
every day.
Header. It's really crazy. NBA is going to own August, and I wonder if they should go deeper into the summer. Obviously, you should be done before football's over.
No,
but
because
I do
they
wonder.
Promised to the players in the bubble, right? These guys want to go back to their families.
No. I mean, like every year. I wonder if they should start Christmas.
Oh, change.
Or even like MLK Day-ish.
No, because they already dominate the summer with their offseason and free agency and all that, right?
But in June is a very busy sports month.
Well,
there
June
is
the NBA Finals.
But there's a lot going on in June. You have like you're going up against hockey. Not that they're like really.
No, they're going up against nothing. It's early season baseball and hockey, which is
there's a lot of golf and tennis. Like there's a lot of noise on the calendar. Whereas there's none in August.
The NBA Finals dominate June, and then NBA free agency dominates late June in the draft. So I don't agree with that. I think
the NBA free agency is going to be.
I think their window. I think
know when it's going to happen.
I think that May, June is wide open. If you in July, they dominate because of free agency. So I don't think they need to really push their schedule too much.
Who is the biggest potential mover this offseason in the NBA?
Well, why don't we save our NBA talk for like when we talk about a crappy team that we have nothing else to
discuss? No, this is our NBA. This is our quick NBA preview. Should we do an NBA? Let's do a quick NBA preview now.
No, I'm not shoehorning an NBA preview into the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Fine, then the Dolphins. Next episode, the Dolphins. We're promising. I'll give you time to research.
Fine.
And by time,
fine.
I mean.
And that makes sense because we're talking about Miami. And in
that's
Miami,
what I'm saying.
Cares.
We'll talk about two
nobody
of them.
Nobody cares about the Dolphins. Doing... Okay, fine.
Yes.
That's fine.
NBA preview during the Dolphins podcast.
Okay, so Saturday you get NBA preview and the Dolphins. Good. Right, so here's Roethlisberger's year by year numbers. Yes, by the way, please. I'm actually surprised. They are not what I thought they were in my head. So 2004, I have him as the 10th best quarterback. That's his rookie year when they go 15-1. Mm-hmm. His next year, 6. So he is a legitimate star in his second year. Then his third year drops to 21. Mm-hmm. Then he's up to 4. So he has one of the best years of his career in 2007. Then 25, but he wins the Super Bowl. Then not, and then he sort of settles into sort of the above average solid sort of part of his career. He's 9, 11, 13, 12, 14. So for 5-6 years in a row, he's an above average quarterback, but not spectacular. Sort of, in that Matt Stafford range. Then he jumps up to 4 in 2014. He has a monster season. Then down to 16 in 2015. And then the last few years, and that's when the Killer Bees were, at their apex, 16, 17, he's 9-9-6.
Mm-hmm.
So overall.
As high as 4 a couple times?
Yeah, 4 twice and then 6
twice. It's fascinating that he's never a top 3 quarterback, but then almost everybody would say he's a Hall of Famer. It's pretty funny.
But I don't think anybody would have thought he ever was a top 3 quarterback. He's never been like in the conversation.
No, I understand, but like you wouldn't work in any other position that you're like, "Oh, he was never considered, one of the top 3 running backs." But let's like Frank Gore. And Frank Gore may have had a year where he was one of the top 3.
Well, yeah, but
backs.
There's no other position that has 30 guys in the Hall of Fame, right?
Yeah.
So actually, I had a game I wanted to play with you because the Pittsburgh Steelers obviously are a famous franchise. As super nerds like you and I know, they were the joke franchise in the NFL in the first like 40 years of the NFL's existence. From the 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, they were the worst team in the history of the league. They were so bad, of course, that during World War II, they combined with the Eagles to become the Steagles.
Well, that wasn't because they were bad. They just lost so many guys.
Yeah, and they went 0-10 that year. No, but they were historically bad until the 70s when they were so good. And then they cooled down in the 80s, but then they heated up again. But they've sort of maintained this title town reputation. And now
go back, by the way, if you're interested, go back and look at the drafts. I know people talk about them, but like look at how many like Hall of Famers. They have one draft where they draft 4 Hall of Famers. And then, like, there's a bunch more.
But there's also – the Steelers are the quintessential example. And I'd say Washington is the example in the 80s of a team who every single player on their team is just was put in the Hall of Fame automatically.
Well, Washington didn't have that. Washington thinks that they all those hogs should be in.
There's too many hogs in the Hall of Fame. Don't get me started on that. But, like, Lynn Swann had a couple of great iconic plays and was an acrobatic receiver. But there's no way he should be a Hall of Famer.
After watching this stuff from the 70s, Lynn Swann is, like, clearly the best receiver in the 70s and should be in the Hall of Fame. He's the best receiver of the whole decade. He really is. No, everyone considered it. You watch it, like, every single play makes it so good.
He would have
the team, 38 like,
catches
even,
a year.
It didn't matter. They literally didn't try. You watch the games. They did not try in the regular season. They were just so much better than everyone else.
All
right, it was
the Pittsburgh
and,
Steelers
and Stallworth,
did not try.
And Stallworth has a better career take. Because he ends up going for a million more years than Swann did.
Yeah. Also not.
No, Swann is a Hall. And also there's no good Hall of Famer in the 70s. We discussed Al Jackson was the leading receiver in the 70s.
All right. So
and like
game,
some of those guys like Biletnikoff was overrated too. Like a lot of those guys were overrated.
Yeah. Right? Well, all those guys were overrated. But okay, so with the game I wanted to play with you, well, and by the way, it just emphasizes to me how truly incredible when we're talking about wide receivers, how truly incredible Don Hutson is. Because he plays in the 40s and he puts up numbers that would, be fine in this era.
Yeah, you could make a case Don Hudson's the best player ever. Just like in comparison to, and also Don Hudson like played like 5 years with interceptions and is one of the Packers all time leading interceptors. Like, he was also a very good defensive back.
Yeah. Okay. So the game I wanted to play with you was I wanted you to try and guess. And because I sent you all my rankings, you might know this anyways. I wanted you to try and guess the highest ranked Pittsburgh Steeler in my charts at every position. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, this is pretty. This. Okay. Fine. So you're gonna have Roethlisberger over Bradshaw.
Okay. So I have Roethlisberger 21 and Bradshaw 28. So correct. So yeah. So
yeah.
Well, Roethlisberger is the greatest quarterback in Pittsburgh Steelers history.
And then for running backs, I think you're gonna have Le'Veon Bell as their best running back.
No, he hasn't played nearly long enough.
He hasn't played enough.
Yeah. Le'Veon. So then, I mean, I have Le'Veon. Where do I have Le'Veon? I have him at number 51 right now.
Oh, so Franco. Okay. Franco Harris.
Okay, so I didn't. Yeah, Franco Harris, I have at number 21.
Yeah, that makes sense. All
right, let's. I'll give an easy one. Center.
Mike Webster, yes, the late Mike Webster.
Yeah, in the conversation, it's either him or Jim Otto for the greatest center of all time. So that was an easy one.
No, Jim Otto's not. No, Jim Otto's not in the conversation. He was the AFL guy. See, your AFL stuff is. By the way, I this is going to bore almost everybody, but when I was watching all these 80 games, like, it's universally acknowledged that Dwight Stevenson was the best center ever. Like, he was so much better than everyone else, but he only plays 7 years.
But his career is too short. Yeah.
In his eighth season. I don't think I've talked about this, right? That he on a Monday Night Football game against the Jets, is Marino throws an interception, and off screen, Marty Lyons, who's the Jets radio announcer now, like, blocks below his knee, he claims, but you never see it. They don't show a replay, and Stevenson carts off, and they're like, all right, whatever, you know, he might be hurt, and then he never plays again. But they were college teammates. Very strange. So Stevenson does not blame him, even though the rest of the Steelers did.
And, oh, they thought it was intentional? Or they just thought it was dirty?
Yeah, they thought it was dirty. Like, he was always known as a dirty player, but they're also college teammates and friends. So, like, it was strange. But anyway, but Stevenson was considered the best lineman of the 80s above Anthony Munoz.
Okay, but his career wasn't long enough. So, all right, who's the greatest receiver in Pittsburgh history?
Probably Antonio Brown.
Yeah, it's got to be. Antonio Brown is a absolute no-brainer Hall of Famer, and I will not tolerate anyone who says otherwise. All right, probably the hardest one on this list. Who is the greatest tight end in Steelers history?
What's the name of their tight end in the 70s? Well, actually, one of the weird things they did is they converted their tight end to left tackle. I don't know if you know this. Their tight end for the first two Super Bowls is one of their tackles for the next two Super Bowls. Okay. They actually converted him.
Yeah,
I don't know, Heath Miller? They haven't had a lot of good tight ends.
No, Heath Miller, excellent. Heath Miller, number 21 on the list of tight
ends. Again, there was no good tight ends. Like, the 60s, there was a couple guys who were, like, receivers who got converted, but there were no good tight ends until, like, the early 90s.
For sure.
The first good tight ends were, there was a couple guys, but the first time there was, like, three good tight ends at a time was, like, the Brent Jones, Jay Novacek type thing, you know?
Yeah. All right, actually, this is going to be the hardest one because for a team that's had a lot of good offensive linemen, the Pittsburgh Steelers do not have they have guys who played for a year or two, you know, who you know, Flozell Adams or, you know, was on the Steelers a little bit. But the first tackle to play, you know, a majority of his career for the Pittsburgh Steelers is my 85th tackle. So this is impossible.
John Cobb, like, maybe was, like, a great player who just never made Pro Bowls because he's their left tackle for all four Super Bowls. And, like, the team was a dominant rushing team. So in hindsight, watching the games, like, he's really good, and he just never, for whatever reason, was never getting voted into Pro Bowls. And then I think Dr. Z as an All-Pro towards the end of his career. But he was, in hindsight, probably a Hall of Fame level player that just wasn't acknowledged.
Yeah, that's very weird, though, because everyone was acknowledged on that team. So
I know. It's a very strange. Well, him and LC Greenwood were, like, two of the best players on the team, but for whatever reason, were never really getting awards. But
you're not a Tunch Ilkin fan? Tunch Ilkin, one of my favorite names.
Yeah, Tunch Ilkin was good.
Yeah, no, but to me, the highest ranked Steeler on my tackle list at number 85 is Frank Veracione.
Yeah,
who I'm sure you haven't heard of because
they were losing people.
He played in the 50s and early 60s, so it was before they were a relevant team.
Yeah, if Rob was here, he'd say we were losing people. I think with this,
with the Frank Valent. Well, okay, fine. So, we'll get into positions where they have higher profile guys. So, guard, the fifth greatest guard of all time, absurdly not in the Hall of Fame yet. Also played for your team. Easy one.
Alan Fan.
Yeah, it bothers me that he was not a first ballot Hall of Famer. All right, let's get to defense, though, because that's where, you know, the Pittsburgh Steelers have so many huge name players.
Mm-hmm.
So who is the and these are all like, you know, all-time legendary type guys. So who's the greatest defensive tackle in Steelers history?
Mindre Green, Ham, Lambert, and there's probably LC Greenwood.
Yeah, so I have Mindre Green, obviously, the highest among all of them. But, yeah, they're all great players. Mm-hmm.
I just gave you all four defensive, four front
seven.
So
LC Greenwood is their top defensive end.
Super Bowl, LC Greenwood is always, like, unblockable and is better than any of those other guys. It's really crazy.
Oh, interesting. So you put – because LC is not even, like – he's nowhere in the Hall of Fame discussion.
No. But, he's definitely the best player in the front seven in all the AFC Championship and Super Bowl games.
Okay, I haven't seen those games you have, so I'll defer.
Who's
to you.
I think only of the front four? I think only Mindre Green is still alive.
I think Elsie died,
and the other two guys.
All right, who's the greatest outside linebacker? I think you might have already said his name.
I see a Hammond Lambert at the line.
Yeah, Hammond Lambert, outside linebacker, inside linebacker. All right, the greatest cornerback of all time is a Pittsburgh Steeler. Who is he?
Oh, Rod Woodson.
Yeah. I have Deion, too. You could flip him. I don't really care one way or the other.
Yeah, Rod Woodson's tricky because some of his early awards are for returning.
Yeah, I mean, Steve Smith on the Panthers, same thing, actually. And then who is the greatest Steeler safety of all time?
I'm assuming one of the guys from the 70s.
Are you going to give
the crazy thing about Rod Woodson people don't remember is, like, Rod Woodson was on the 1990 when NFL, like, had the official all-time team, 75-year all-time team in 94.
He was already on
that team. Sort of did this year. He was already on that team. And then, like, his career is amazing. He's, like, an immortal player, basically. And then he's on the 2000 Ravens as a starting safety.
Yeah.
Like, people forget he was on that team with Ray Lewis.
Well, both Rod and Charles Woodson switched to safety and were stars at safety as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, but the best safety is Troy Polamalu, more recent.
Oh,
more
yeah,
recent
okay. Vintage. Yeah, I was just thinking 70s. Yeah, that makes sense.
All right,
we're losing people.
We are. All right.
Well, you're losing me.
The greatest kicker. All right, the easy one. Gary Anderson. Gary Anderson, nobody thinks of him on the Steelers, but he played most of his career for the Steelers.
I don't think anybody thinks of him at all.
Yeah. Okay, fine. So we're losing people. You did not like my game. Before we get bombed, are we doing the schedule game? What are we doing for the Steelers?
How much time do we have to do the schedule game?
I think we have like 2 minutes. You want to zip through it really quickly?
Yeah, very quick. Very quick.
All right, at Giants on Monday night.
Win.
The early game. Denver at home.
The Rooney Mara Bowl. Win.
Houston at home.
I'll say loss. I'll say they split those.
At Tennessee.
Loss.
2-2. At home against the Eagles.
Oof. I'll say win.
And then at home against the Browns.
Win.
And then at Baltimore.
Loss.
Okay, so 4-3. Coming out of the bye, they have a late Sunday game against the Cowboys on national television.
Loss.
All right, so 4-4. Come home.
Cowboys just added your buddy Everson Griffin.
Yes, yesterday. I know. They did. Bengals?
Win.
All right, 5-4. At Jacksonville?
Win.
And then short rest Thursday night game against...